This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Here's a question for you to consider. What important questions are we in the media not asking about Detroit? What impacts of the Detroit bankruptcy have flown under the radar? What about questions about life post-bankruptcy, like just how can Detroit rebuild its neighborhoods and create more high-paying jobs? And what does all of that mean for Michigan as a whole? Well, Michigan Radio is partnering with other media organizations around the state to try and find the answers to those questions. And so welcome to the brand new Detroit Journalism Cooperative. Lester Graham will be digging into the coverage for Michigan Radio, and he's with us now. Hi, Lester.
Hi there.
And joining us is John Bebo, president of the Center for Michigan. Hello, John.
Good afternoon, partner.
Yeah, indeed. And let's start with this idea behind the creation of the Detroit Journalism Cooperative, and that's that there were stories that were really being missed in Detroit?
Well, part of what's most interesting about this collaboration is none of we collaborators actually started this. This was an idea sparked by two national funders in journalism, the Ford Foundation and the Knight Foundation. They actually came to Michigan and brought all of us together, which is a great sign for anybody who cares about current events in the state, but also a great sign for nonprofit news gatherers in our state. This is a considerable outside national investment in the work that all of the partners do. So that's good for us, and it's good for readers and listeners.
And as you heard from these partners and people who are really involved in the city, from people all over Detroit and the neighborhoods, what did they tell you about what they felt was missing in news coverage in Detroit?
Well, I think Lester can speak to this, too, because we've begun a series of listening sessions with the diverse Detroiters. There are so many issues that can be covered more deeply, and no disrespect intended to the current media that's working very hard to do so now. It's just the media landscape has changed so much that with a story this complex, there's no way that the current newsroom structures could completely cover this story on
right.
its own.
There are literally hundreds of stories that could be covered, and we're just trying to add to the mix.
For both of you, why are these stories so important to tell in your mind, Lester?
One of the things that is a great concern to me is bankruptcy for the city of Detroit is bankruptcy for a corporate entity. It happens to be that all the Detroit residents own it. But, you know, bankruptcy of the city itself has nothing to do or little to do with the day-to-day lives of the people. So after bankruptcy is finished and the city's debts are, you know, dealt with, the question is the city sustainable? How are they going to be able to fund it in the future? How's that going to happen? And that's one of the things I'm really interested in finding out. You know, life goes on, whether the city's in bankruptcy or not. Mm-hmm. After it's finished, what will life look like? What can they depend on in city services? But more importantly, where do we go here as a community, not as a city corporate entity?
Part of what we're trying to show is that they matter to all of the people of Michigan. Some of the first stories that we've done in this project, we looked at a term that on its face sounds pretty boring. It's called legacy costs. It's what we all owe for pension and health care obligations for public employees. That's part of what drove the city of Detroit, the corporate entity, as Lester calls it, into bankruptcy. But indeed, it's actually a huge problem in communities from Kalkaska to Kalamazoo and everywhere else in the state. And we wanted to point that out as the first series of stories we did in this project to show that no matter where you live in Michigan, the Detroit bankruptcy does matter to you, because the precedents that will be set in this legal case may trickle down to your very own local community. And the structural financial troubles that exist in Detroit actually do indeed exist in many other places across the state. So that's part of why it matters so much to us personally.
So, Lester, you're going to be kicking off the coverage for Michigan Radio this week. What can we expect to hear from you?
Well, my first piece is going to be about the prosperity of the residents of the city. You know, if you can't pay income tax because you don't have a job, if you're not paying property tax because you don't have a job, if you're renting instead of buying a house and contributing to the neighborhood, that's going to have an impact on the city. So Detroit won't become a sustainable city. It won't become prosperous if that prosperity is not shared among the residents first. So I think to build up the city, you have to build up the workforce, and that's what I'm going to be looking at.
And it sounds like that's the building block. Is that why you chose this story first?
I think so. You know, when you look at Detroit workers, those people who are left within the city, in the 1970s, of the black men who were working in the 1970s, most of them were working in the automotive industry. Today, when you look at the black men in the city of Detroit, most of them are working in the fast food industry. They're also working for 50% or less of the pay that they were making on average in the 1970s. That's really important to look at. You know, why don't we have jobs for them? Most of them were done away with because of automation and so forth. So what are we going to do now? And we're starting to look at some of the places where they are doing new things.
John, you touched on this in your comments a bit ago about the legacy costs, but I'd like your thoughts even more on expanding this disconnect that when we're telling the story of Detroit, it often feels like we hear the message sometimes that Detroit just does not matter to the rest of the state. How is it you hope this project will change that narrative?
Well, I think we have to continue to illustrate that Detroit's problems exist in other communities as well, and bring that message home to people. I think for reasons both legitimate and illegitimate, there's a lot of distrust between Detroiters and outstaters, and outstaters and Detroiters. And we have to show what life is like on the ground in the city, and also connect that to the lives of people around the state. And I think we're going to do that. And I think Lester's story out of the gate is just a tremendous example of some great reporting, and I think it twins nicely with some of the work that Bridge is going to introduce this week. Mayor Duggan has come out of the gate and said, "Look, I want you to measure me on some benchmarks," and this is very similar to what he did at the DMC in his marketing campaigns about, you know, you can get into our emergency rooms and get treated fast. He's trying to bring that approach to the much more complex world of city government. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
You know, one thing I wanted to point out that John has pointed out, this really is a Michigan problem. I mean, as Detroit goes, so will much of Michigan, because it is our largest city. The other thing is, it's easy to boil this down to a political argument that Republicans love to say, look, this is how Democrats run a city. You know, it's far, far more complicated than that. It's far deeper than that. And the fact is, the state has some of the same exact problems as Detroit. The state has a huge pension deficit. The state has other tools it can use, like, oh, I don't know, taking a larger share of the revenue sharing money and using it to wipe out debt or problem deficits for the state at the expense of the cities. And that's something all cities are paying for, and something that's hit Detroit particularly hard because it had such a large share of revenue sharing. There are all these stories that are out there. It's never as simple as some people would like you to think. You know, it's corruption and Democrats. Yeah, no, that's just doesn't hold water when you get down to looking at the numbers.
It's an interesting preview of what we can come to look forward to from the Detroit Journalism Cooperative. Lester Graham, investigative reporter for Michigan Radio, and John Bebo, director at the Center for Michigan. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thrilled to be with you. Thanks.